Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony. And Lord, I'm so lost without you. Anoint your handmaiden, anoint every word that I say. Let it edify and let it build up the body of Christ. Let it touch every heart and every soul that hears and listens and believes, God. And I'll give you the glory because you're all that I am and you're all that I'll ever be is you, Lord. Anoint me. I need you, Father. I was saved at 11 years old, and then at 15 I was spirit-filled, and then I fell in love with a young man in church, and we were married. As soon as we were married, we left the church. I turned my back upon God, and for a period of 10 years and two children that was growing up on me, I found myself an alcoholic going from bar to bar. I begged my husband, when are we going back to church? And he'd always say to me, the day you go back, I'll leave you. So I didn't think I could give his love up. I just kept drinking heavier and heavier. And at the age of 28, one day, my dad and my baby brother was working around my home this day. And God just stopped my heart, a type of a heart seizure. I let out a scream and I fell on my kitchen floor. My brother heard me and he ran in and scooped me in his arms and threw me in his truck. And he was rushing me to the doctor's office. And I had no breath, but with the cry of my heart, I looked up to God and I said, God, if you'll set me free of drugs and cigarettes and alcohol and give me back my breath, I'll live for you the rest of my life. I said, somewhere this Sunday, me and my babies, I'll be back in the house of God. And I said, God, for another chance, I'll answer the call of God you've got on my life. I said, I'll get on the housetops and preach your word. I said, I'll go through the streets proclaiming your name. And God heard that cry. By the time I got to the doctor's office, he gave me a shot and sent me home. And my husband, he left me like he said he would. And over the period of 10 more years, it didn't look like God was going to bring him back to me. It didn't look like God was going to give me a Christian husband. So one more time, I thought I could set God up on a shelf again in my life. And I headed back to the world of drugs and alcohol. Each time that we lapse back into sin, we go worse and worse. When the devil gets you possessed in an area of your life, then all he can call all the demons of hell in upon you. And demons breed demons. I was even carrying my bottle to work with me. It took a fifth of whiskey to knock me out at night with sleeping pills. It took three or four shots to get me going in the morning. I was back going bar to bar with the call of God tugging at my heart heavier and heavier, with a whiskey bottle in one hand and pills in the other hand. I made two attempts on trying to take my life. The next leading demon that possesses you is the suicide demon. If he can get you to destroy yourself in that state, he has you for all eternity. So night and day, suicide was riding my mind continuously. I was a complete failure. The devil kept saying, you're a complete failure. Your entire life been a failure. I couldn't even live a godly life in this world. And I knew I'd failed my children as a godly mother. The years that I should have been instilling the Lord in their hearts, I was in the bars drinking. And it was a fact that I failed as a wife. The three things that I wanted to accomplish more than anything else. So night and day, suicide was continually on my mind. I was back in the world of drugs and alcohol for 2 years, drinking night and day. 1 week before my accident, I ran by my mama's house. When I went in the door, mama went weeping. She said, Alene, look at you. You're looking so old. Mama knew that I didn't care if I lived or I died, and I'd made attempts on trying to take my life. She said, when are you going to give your life back to God? She said, let him work out your heartache and your sorrow for you. I looked at my mama. I said, oh, mama, I won't mind hell. I said, you tell me one thing that the flames and the devil can do to me that my life on this earth hasn't been. I said, I have lived one heartache, one sorrow, and one hell my entire life. I said, the flames could not possibly touch me, mama. And from the time that I was saved at 11 years old, I longed to look upon the face of my Lord. I looked at mama and I said, mama, if there is a heaven, and if there is a hell, my hell would be separated from my God that I've loved so much all my life. And I ran out the door crying on my way to work, and mama got on her knees like she always did. She raised the 7 children there. My mama's had 3 children raised from the dead. My dad dying 20 years ago with cancer. Mama knows God in a mighty miracle way. She said, God, you heard your words. She's not afraid of death or hell. Said, somehow show her a portion of her hell. Turn her back around and put the fear of God back in her heart. 1 week later, I fell asleep at my car wheel coming home from Bernie. I flew out of my car and I had my neck broken. 4 major breaks to my spine, 15 fractures on top of the 5 major breaks, 9 broken ribs, crushed left lung, and crushed kidneys. We have 5 units of blood in our entire body. I had 4 units of loose blood hanging loose in my back. My mama's phone rang at 12 o'clock this night. Said, Sister Baxley, will you pray for this little mother? Her son was just killed in a car accident. And when mama hung up her phone, God spoke to her and said, you travail for this son like you've never travailed before. And I've seen my mama pray and travail so hard in our lives. As children grew up with the sound of my mama praying. And I've seen her pray so hard that I thought the Lord was going to take her home away from us children. But God says, you pray for this son like you never travailed before. Before this night's over, you'll need someone to travail for one of yours. My mama hung up the phone and went in a travail for me. She called my sister. My sister started 1 hour later, the phone rang, and it was I at the hospital. My sister started praying for me, and God showed her a vision of me, a small babe again, wrapped me in a swaddling cloth, and handed me back to my mother. My mother ran to the hospital, and 2 doctors met her at the door. Said that my only hope was God, that I'd have to have a miracle from higher power, from God Almighty. And that word impossible turns my mama on. She ran back home and my sister called and shared the vision that God gave her about me. My mama and my sister said she didn't know the meaning of the vision, but be strong in faith. Maybe we will someday. But in the meantime, little ones, I found myself walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And what God calls out of darkness, there isn't any words in our human vocabulary that can touch that valley. It was so deep and so dark. It was a gross the darkness, and I couldn't even see my hand before me, and I started screaming, my God, stay my feet. I was so afraid to even move an inch in that valley. And all of a sudden, the only thing that was alive within me was this word, the word that came in my life at 11 years old. It turned into life. It turned into Jesus Christ. And Jesus started high priesting and interceding and travailing to God to save my soul. And I'd always loved the 23rd Psalms, and I started quoting, yeah, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, and I couldn't go on, I couldn't say thy rod and staff would comfort me. I stood there with sin in my life, undone to meet that almighty God up there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of a sudden, in the right-hand corner, appeared the mighty death angel. I started screaming, no, God, no, God, what's the death angel here for? And the death angel appeared that on the command of the Father that he would have to crucify the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Jesus, all over flesh. And the death angel had a big set of golden keys around his waist. And he carries that gift of life back to God the Father. Then the death angel carried me out to that hour, out of darkness. I found myself in hell, screaming and hollering, gnashing of my teeth, demons around me by the millions, and souls around me screaming and hollering and been out there for years and years, gnashing of the teeth, trying to die. The story of the rich man's soul that was cast out to outer darkness. His soul is still out there screaming and hollering for God to send Lazarus and touch the tip of his tongue. He has been out there ages trying to die. There's two deaths that we have to face. The first death, and we think it's all over. But the second death is the judgment God pronounces upon our soul. And we're either given life back in Him, God the Father, or we have a death sentence pronounced upon us, and our soul is cast out to that outer darkness. But we do not die. We just begin to live when we die the first death. Life just begins. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And here was this dark, deep draw, and all these souls were trying to climb up to God the Father. And the only way through that dark gulf was through the precious blood, the blood that I took so lightly in my life, the blood that I trampled on and dragged it back through the bar and the gutter life. The gift, the death angel appeared, my precious gift of life, was the only way through that dark, deep gulf. And all the souls in hell, they know where God the Father is. But it's too late. God says it can never give back, can never restore. Once we pass the first death, without the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is the only way through that dark, deep gulf. I said, where's the devil at? I personally want to kick him in his teeth, for my life. I held this earth. Way back up in the background of me began this mocking, laughing voice. The devil, hoping God would command the death angel to leave me there. In the valley of death, I was begging the death angel to go away, go away. But when I found myself in that outer darkness, I was screaming, "Don't leave me! Don't leave me! Don't leave me!" I said, "Why is it the devil here now?" And all of a sudden, the mighty, earthquaking, rolling voice of God began shaking that whole dark world. And God says, "You were right not to fear the devil. If I let him kill you in the first death, you fear me. I'm the God that can destroy both your body and your soul." He said, "I own hell. These are my souls here, and I had to cast them here." As I waded in out of that dark valley of death, they had to drill four holes in my head and put me in a halo cast and do a tracheotomy on my throat. And the only way of communing with Mama was by pencil and paper. I had no voice. And I kept praying when I would come from unconsciousness. "Pray, Mama. I can't die. I can't die." And then I would lapse back out into that outer darkness. I experienced two departments in hell. The outer darkness, where the soul of man is held, and then the lake of fire. I was not cast to the lake of fire. I only got to see it. And here was fire and brimstone rolling through all heaven, hell, and earth. And it had red hot piercing flames. And the natural fire on this earth can consume flesh, and the spiritual fire can consume flesh, but neither fire can consume the soul of man. This was illuminating, piercing fire, and the soul is not consumed in it. And the flames was going through all of earth and heaven and hell, but it still gave no light. The chains of pit was there, where the third of angels was in chains of darkness. They're still in those chains. The angels are there, and it's still in total darkness, even with the fire and the brimstone rolling, and hell was enlarging as I was viewing it. And God said, "Hell has enlarged itself, for wide is the road that leadeth to hell and destruction, but narrow is the path that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it." But he said, "I did not create hell, Aline, for your soul. I created heaven for the soul of man. I created hell for the devil and his angels." Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I waited in that dark valley of death, it seemed eternity to me, matter of a few days in your world. But one day in the darkness, a small light began penetrating in that valley, and the light was just opposite from the darkness. It was so bright and holy and illuminating. I grabbed my eyes and I fell flat on the ground. Just the appearing of that holy light, I was unfit to look up to it. That whole dark world started moving and earth crashing under me. And here for the second time was that almighty voice of God again. And God said, "Aline, your gifts and calling of me are without repentance." That scripture always troubled me. I didn't know what gifts that God was not going to repent of and hold me accounted for. And then I was afraid that when he places the call of God upon our lives, that scripture is exactly what it says in 11:29. I realize the gift, my precious gift of life that I took so lightly. Once we pick up Jesus, he will not repent of giving him to you. He holds us accounted with where we go and what we do with our gift of life. And then when he places a call on your life, you're not dealing with a penny ante God. He doesn't call you today and forget it tomorrow. The call of God is on your life from the very womb of your mother. You have been called and chosen and predestined to have this precious gift of life. I screamed out thinking I was dying at this moment. But as my crushed lung began swelling on me, it was crucial time. My mother was sent home and said she must get some rest. They directed calls to my baby brother, and he would call the hospital call and told him to get there. They were afraid they were going to lose me. Just as my crushed lung kept swelling on me, my right lung deflated. And for 4 minutes, I did not breathe. I, by chance, got to run on to the little therapist that was working over me at this time. Hillman came up and saw me and my mother. He said, I want you to know that I've never heard the audible voice of God, and I have been saved 15 years. He said, as I was giving you oxygen there, I took your blood into 4 minutes. It was black as your hair. No life at all. He said, one more minute, I would have legally had to pronounce you dead. But just as I took your blood there at the floor, the audible voice of God spoke to me and said, she's a chosen vessel. He said, I cried out, oh, I've got 1 minute. He said, I gave you one more shot, 100% oxygen. And that lung responded, and you started breathing. He said, I want you to know that you are a miracle from God. My brother ran in the intensive care ward just as I started dying, and I didn't know what all on the outside they were doing trying to save my life. My brother said, sis, you reached out and you grabbed my hand and said, your eyes was locked on my eyes. But he said, I knew you weren't seeing me. He said, you saw something there in death that I had never seen, such a horrified look on a person's face in all my life. Said, whatever you were seeing was causing your hair to stand straight on ends. He said, I almost had to break your fingers to get your hand out of mine. He said, I ran out of the room and fell right in front of the hospital desk. Holy God, don't take her. Don't take her. Just she's ready to die. How I knew I was dying this time. There appeared in the heavens a scroll, and a hand appeared and began rolling it out. Hallelujah. And the word, the finger of God, began writing across my life. I was never so shocked and horrified in all my life. The word that I termed as love for my husband, it took me 3 months locked in my bedroom crying out to God, and I knew that was the only reason I wasn't left in hell. I knew the only reason that I was back here in this life, back in my bedroom. I had to tell the world how God judged me. It's been the hardest thing that I've ever had to do in my life. But if my going and my sharing to the world how God judged me, if I can keep one soul from hitting that outer darkness and being cast to that lake of fire in the end, it will be worth all the names, all the reproach that I'll have to take for the rest of my life. The mighty finger of God began writing the word last across my life. I started screaming, "No, God! No, God! That's not me! That's not me! That's not me! That's not me!" And I died. I was screaming, "God, forgive me! Forgive me! Forgive me! Forgive me!" Just as I died, I'm screaming, "God, forgive me." The next thing I remember, I was separated from life. Jesus was called. I found myself in total darkness and suffering. And God the Father let me witness how hard my mother prayed and how hard my sister prayed to rebirth me back into the kingdom of God. I found myself back in the spiritual womb of my mother, just a substance. She was kneeling at an altar. My sister was kneeling directly across from her, and my sister started praying so hard, she started having labor pains in the spirit. Her flesh started consuming off of her. She touched the death zone and turned to a skeleton. She was praying so hard for my soul. A doctor tell you there's just a hair between death and life of a mother as she births her child. We're birthed in the heavenly kingdom the same way the baby's birthed in the flesh. The baby's encased in a placenta of blood. It's surrounded with a bag of water. So we break the blood, the water, and God breathes the breath of life within us, and we become a living soul. You're birthed in the heavens the same way, through the blood, through the water, and through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Someone has labored for you and I. Someone has prayed and travailed and labored in the Spirit. You didn't stumble in a church house and pick up this gift of life accidentally. Someone has prayed for your soul and birthed you into the kingdom of God. My mama, my sister, I could just see her travailing. I did not feel her pains. But as I'm just the substance in my mother's womb, here for the third time, began that almighty earthquaking voice of God again. And God said, "Before you were here in this belly, I foreknew you. I called and ordained you from the foundation of the world. And as I couldn't repent of the call that I placed on my only son's life, I'll not repent of the call that I placed on men's lives." And I saw a big golden book, and all the pages went through and were sealed. And God said the ending was established from the beginning. And what I've ordained in the heavens will be. And one more time, God's voice repeated, "And I will not repent." All of a sudden, my mama started having spiritual labor pains. Life began coming into this substance. Jesus was back. Light was back. Life was back. I started breathing again, and I started feeling every labor pain my mama began having. My mother's birthed me in the flesh, and she has birthed me in the spiritual world. I started growing and maturing into a small babe again. and I felt every labor pain that mama had. And all of a sudden, as I became a full-grown babe, and the tongues, the Holy Spirit was rolling within me, the pains started moving me in the womb of my mother. And all of a sudden, my mother bared down on that last travailing pain. It moved me in my mother's womb, positioned my head up to the opening of her birth canal. And as I shot through her canal, God was saying to me, preach my word, my word, my word. Every word will be held accounted for on judgment day. The 4 minutes that I did not breathe, it threw me into an insanity, crazy world. They strapped my hands to the bed and my feet to the bed. I was like a raging animal, kept ripping myself off from my lung machine and my blood plasma. The third morning of insanity, mama would call the hospital every morning at 6. And this little nurse found the Lord through my mother. She said, I didn't know that that kind of faith still existed on this earth. Said, your mother called every morning at 6 o'clock. And I'd have to tell her you was very critical. Barely made it through the night. Said she'd always hang up her telephone, her praising God. Said she stood over you like an iron mountain and wouldn't be moved that God was not going to bring you out. The third morning in sanity, mama had called at 6, and I had barely made it through the night. By the time she was dressed at 7:30 at the door, waiting to be let in, the exact moment that I broke my mother's spiritual wound, and God telling me I had to preach His word, I came to my right mind, and tongues, the Holy Spirit, was coming out of the pipe down into my lungs. To come sailing in and grab the back of my cast, trying to calm me down to see what in the world was happening to me. And when she got me quieted, I motioned for mama, for my pencil, my paper. I had something to say to her. I said, mama, 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 I'm ready to die now. I said, I was a small babe again. And when mama saw that small babe on my note, she almost left the hospital feeling. She remembered the vision my sister had 18 days earlier. Me, a small babe again, wrapped me in a swaddling cloth and gave me back to mama. I said, mama, I was back in your spiritual wound. You rebirthed me back through the blood, the water, and the spirit of Jesus Christ. I said, the death angel can carry on now, mama. I'm ready to die. I've had enough of this whole life. I said, kiss my children for me. Kiss Papa. I said, Mama, I'll see you when you get over there. I knew this husband would leave me too. That same old cross of loneliness. Still be waiting on me. I saw just a little bit of that light of heaven out there. There was no powers on earth could hold me back. I was ready to die. I closed my eyes and said, I'm ready now, Lord, for you to take me home. And here was God's voice back on the love side that I'd known from a child. He didn't add gifts this time. He gave me back that precious gift of life within my heart. But he said, little one, your calling is still without repentance. I still had to get up and do what God had called and predestined for my life to do. I've helped my sister in meetings, my baby brother in meetings. I couldn't believe that God was actually going to make me get in the pulpit. I'm so dumb and uneducated. But he said, Aline, everywhere you put the sole of your feet, it'll be your inheritance, not your sister's, not your baby brothers, but your own inheritance. We each have an inheritance in God, and we each have to claim that spiritual inheritance. Then one more time, God, roll my scroll out before me. And for the third time in this old alcoholic life, now the precious blood begins flowing across my life. And the mighty finger of God appeared. And in that blood, he began writing the word grace across my scroll. And I truly began a newborn babe all over again at 40 years old. All my breaks was judgment but one. The one is judgment, the one crushed lung. The 15 is judgment of God. The 9 is judgment of God. But in the midst of all the breaks, there was a big 5 down the spine. The number of grace across my life. God gave me one more chance to get up and do the call of God that He had placed upon my life. What a merciful God He is. In Revelation 20 and 12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books is open, another book is open, which is the book of life." I want you to know that God keeps a personal record on our lives. There in a matter of seconds went my whole life before me. Everything that I'd ever done in just seconds. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. My soul weighed in that valley of death. And I was judged according. I hit the valley of death with sin in my life. And it was going to abolish all the good works that I'd done when I lived for God in this life. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. I want you to see two things here. God answered my mama's prayer and showed a portion of hell my hell would be. But I experienced two hells. The outer darkness where death and hell would be delivered up. Then they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Get your eyes on the second death. This life is appointed unto man once to die. And after the death, the judgment. So you've got an appointment with God. You cannot get out of that appointment. You're going to stand before God. Those that's in a death sentence in that outer darkness, like the rich man's soul, is the poor sinner. He came in darkness, slipped out in the same, never to know the light of Jesus Christ. But to those that's in the hell experience already out there screaming and howling, is the poor old backslider like I was. I'd had a living, breathing, walking God embedded within my soul. And for the death angel to crucify the spirit of life and light all over afresh and cast me out to that outer darkness, I was translated out of the dark world into the illuminating light of Jesus Christ. And if that light be turned back to darkness, how gross and how gross and sick is that eternal darkness. I named my own hell the soul that's had God embedded within it. When it sees, it's going to be seared off and cut off from God, its creator, for all eternity. It flips into a spiritual hell, a spiritual fire that you couldn't kindle in heaven, hell, or on earth. I named my hell. Scripture says, 20 and 6, Revelation 20 and 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power." Get your eyes on the second death. Where are you going to spend eternity? You have two choices, heaven or hell. You may say, "I do not believe in hell." But my friend, 2 minutes in hell amid the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth will change your mind. When you realize then, like everyone in hell realizes today, that the Bible is the Word of God, that ye are a sinner, that Christ died for us, that we could have been saved had you believed and accepted Him as your personal Savior, Lord. You will cry loud in agony as you weep and wail and gnash your teeth. Such a place was I, and you saw such a fool was I. It's too late. There are no unbelievers in hell, but they believe too late. The mere fact you don't believe in hell, it does not alter God's word. The Bible is true, and the Bible describes hell as a future punishment for sinners and unbelievers. And this is exactly what the Scripture says it is. I experienced that living outer darkness, the first of hell, the first part of it. And it's exactly the way God describes it, as a future punishment for sinners and unbelievers, to be a lake of fire, a place of torment, a place where lost souls never die, a weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, a place where sinners drink of the wine of God's wrath, a place where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and ever. Let God be true and every man a liar. True Bible preachers who love your soul much preach about hell. If they don't believe in hell, then they are deceivers and on their way to sell themselves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs 1 and 23. God spoke this scripture to me a million times, sitting on the bar stool, dealing with my life, saying, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But you have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh on you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. You must cry out to God now. This is your day of salvation. This is the time and the hour that God is dealing with you. He's called and called and called your life. You must answer that call. If we keep running, you'll meet God in a mighty wrath, God. I have 5 ugly scars. I carry the mark of Cain, the mark of sin upon my life. 4 holes in my head, an ugly cross star across my throat. He is a God of love. He loved us so much that He gave the precious blood of the one Son, that He may birth many, many sons, you and I, into the kingdom of God. But if we neglect that gift, if we trample upon that precious gift of life and refuse it and refuse it and refuse it, there will be a day that you'll hit that dark, deep valley of death with sin in your life. And then you'll be the God of wrath, hair of wool, eyes of fire, feet of brass, and His vesture dipped in blood, and the Word of God, the sword, coming out of His mouth to destroy you and to lay you desolate. He is a God of wrath. We've lost the fear of the Almighty God. You must choose heaven or hell. There's only one way into heaven, and it's that high way of holiness. You must receive the precious blood of Jesus Christ on your soul. If you hit the valley of death with sin in your life, it's too late. You may not have a travailing mama. You may not have a church somewhere crying out for you. God is calling you today. God is calling you today. Each one that's out there, I don't care how far on drugs and alcohol that you think you are, nothing's impossible with God. I was a worse sinner. I am worse than Paul was. I was a bad sinner. And thank God I had a mama that didn't throw me away. She was going in 3 times a day for 6 months crying out for this old alcoholic. God set me free, brought me back from hell. He can set you free. He can deliver you. He wants to heal your life. He wants to mend those broken lives. He can put your life back together again. He is a miracle working God if we give Him a chance. If we give Him a chance to come into our lives, to be His, our Lord and our Savior and our soon Savior. coming, King. Don't keep running. Don't keep running. Blessed is he that's in the first resurrection. Jesus is the first resurrection. He was the first to come out of the grave. And because he arose, you and I arose. I won victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so can you. So can you. If I hadn't had a praying mama, I would have been in hell now. 14 years, screaming and hollering like all the millions of souls that was there just trying to die. There is no death of the soul. You live for all eternity. We just begin to live when the first death is over. Get this life out of your vision and get the second death. Where are you going to spend eternity? I may never preach a message that makes any sense to anyone. I may never do anything great in man's eyes, and I'm not trying to. But as long as I got breath in this old body, you'll find me somewhere on this continent sharing my testimony. I've got to cry out for the rest of my life. There is a heaven. I saw the light. But oh, little one, there is a hell. I have walked. My feet have stood in the pit of hell. I was there. If you ever believe anything in your life, there is a hell. There is a hell. And you must choose where you're going to spend eternity. Heaven or hell. Let him come into your heart, into your soul. Let him create anew within you. Let him set you free. Wash you in his precious blood. He died for you. Wherever this, my voice is coming out, to every ear, right now receive Jesus Christ into your heart.